Chapter 3. Defense Support of Civil Authorities. DISCA operations encompass all support provided by the components of the Army to civil authorities within the U.S., its possessions, and territories. This includes support provided by the regular Army, Army Reserve, and Army National Guard when the Secretary of Defense, in coordination with the governors of the states, elects and requests to use those forces in Title 32 United States Code status. Army forces frequently conduct DISCA operations in response to requests from federal, state, local, and tribal authorities for domestic incidents, emergencies, disasters, designated law enforcement support, and other domestic activities. DISCA operations are related to stability operations and foreign humanitarian assistance, but while these missions are conducted overseas, DISCA operations are conducted within the U.S., its territories and possessions, in support of the U.S. population. As IED and WMD threats increase within the homeland, EOD forces will offer valuable expertise in response to these threats. Group and Battalion. While most support to civil authorities' request for assistance will be conducted by the EOD companies, the EOD group and battalion play a vital role in ensuring that support provided by EOD is prompt and suitable for the assigned mission. Leadership. Commanders gauge unit readiness for DISCA missions by assessing proficiency in three warfighting functions: mission command, sustainment, and protection. The requirement to deploy into a domestic OE, often with little warning, and to operate with joint and interagency partners requires mission command that can adapt systems and procedures for a non-combat, civilian-led structure. See ADP 3-28 for more information. Group and battalion commanders must ensure all EOD units are equipped, trained, and ready to respond to requests from civil authorities. The group and battalion must also ensure all EOD soldiers understand what capabilities may legally be used when providing EOD support. EOD forces are in a constant rotation, either preparing to deploy, deployed, or redeployed. DISCA is a mission that is done in conjunction with the normal mission command battle rhythm. EOD leaders recognize the strain this puts on soldiers who are training to execute their overseas mission. The group and battalion leadership must ensure DISCA is executed in a manner that allows EOD forces to properly prepare for deployments. EOD Corps, Division, Brigade, and Battalion staff officers and non-commissioned officers will provide support to DOD and government installations with vulnerability assessments to determine the threat to the installation if attacked with explosives. The EOD company commander should make this information available through a capabilities brief, which will include communications, intelligence, and crew used by EOD forces in the homeland. Communications. The EOD battalion is responsible for ensuring that EOD companies have the training and resources required to maintain communications with supported military organizations and units. The EOD battalion is responsible for providing training and operational radio frequencies and call signs monthly or as required to EOD company communications representatives. The EOD battalion should work closely with the installation provost marshal office, range control, and spectrum management sections to ensure that EOD companies are fielded compatible radio systems to communicate with all installation-supported agencies in support of emergency response operations. When EOD teams are tasked to support civil authorities, the EOD battalion will approve response communications plans to verify that teams will be able to maintain secure and uninterrupted communications, both voice and data, with local, state, federal, and tribal emergency services. The EOD battalion will also verify company response SOPs to ensure that primary and secondary communication systems are available for incident response. Intelligence. In accordance with federal law, no intelligence collection will be conducted by EOD forces within the U.S. Battalion and company operations sections should work closely with the installation provost marshal office protection cell to provide situational awareness for known criminal and terrorist threats in the assigned response area. Any photographic or material evidence collected in response to civil authorities will be turned over to them at the end of the incident. Crew and countermeasures. ECMUs during an EOD response in the homeland involving suspected radio-controlled IED must be coordinated through the Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, and in accordance with DODI 3025.21. The FBI is responsible for all domestic use of ECM for radio-controlled IED and has established procedures that facilitate ECM employment by military EOD when responding to suspected radio-controlled IED on and off military installations. Before using ECM, the EOD on-scene commander will initiate the radio-controlled IED ECM protocols as established in the current FBI Military EOD Domestic ECM Notification Checklist. This is accomplished by calling the FBI Strategic Information Operations Center or the local FBI Special Agent Bomb Technician. Before using ECM, the EOD on-scene commander will inform the incident commander so they are aware of the potential impacts that radio-controlled IED ECM may have on incident operations. Company Command Section. DODI 3025.21 outlines the military's responsibilities to civil authorities. The EOD Company Command Section will ensure that they have an understanding of these documents. Company commanders and first sergeants will educate their soldiers on this directive to enable them to have a better understanding of the importance of civil support. The EOD Company Command Section is responsible for coordinating all EOD support to local, state, federal, and tribal law enforcement agencies. This support includes emergency response to all explosive ordnance found on and off DOD installations, as well as planned support to the Drug Enforcement Agency, FBI, Department of Energy, DOS, and the USSS. Company SOP for Homeland Response Requirements will be maintained and updated annually by the Company Command Section. Every soldier that will be responding to civil authorities will read and understand the Company SOP when they report to their unit. Unit SOPs will include state and local regulatory requirements as outlined in battalion and group base orders. The EOD group will ensure that all appropriate memorandums of understanding and memorandums of agreement are signed with appropriate state environmental agency and the sister service EOD units that will take responsibility for areas around their installation. Both the Memorandum of Understanding and the Memorandum of Agreement should establish the responsibilities and capabilities of the closest EOD unit in order to have an understanding of what type of capability is needed based on the type of incident that is reported. Anytime military explosive ordnance is found, a military EOD unit will be tasked to respond to the incident. Technical assistance provided to local, state, federal, and tribal authorities is provided by the EOD company. This should also be included in the capabilities brief given by the command section. Technical assistance includes, but is not limited to, interpreting X-rays and pictures that are provided by law enforcement in order to determine what type of threat they may have, advising and assisting on courses of action, and render safe and disposal procedures in accordance with applicable memorandums of understanding and memorandums of agreement. The EOD company must know where available disposal sites are within their area of responsibility. In some instances, the requesting agency will need to provide a safe disposal area. Establishing a memorandum of agreement will allow the EOD team to access the closest disposal site on or off a DOD installation. The EOD team will ensure they have the appropriate Environmental Protection Agency permits prior to disposal in accordance with State Environmental Protection Agency. In order to respond in the homeland, every EOD soldier must be certified as a first responder. This certification is provided by the Federal Emergency Management Agency under the Army Emergency Management Program, National Information Management System, Incident Command System, and Rescue Techniques for First Responders, See AR 525-27 for more information. The command section will ensure compliance with Title 29, United States Code, which states that every emergency responder that may come in contact with a hazardous substance must have passed the Occupational Safety and Health Administration physical and met the operational requirements for hazardous waste operations and emergency response technician. Other regulations, policies, and directives that the command section must ensure they understand and are in compliance with are Titles 40 and 49, Code of Federal Regulations and Homeland Security Presidential Directive 7. The Department of Energy has several sensitive sites throughout the U.S. The EOD command section will ensure they are aware of all sensitive sites to include any sensitive shipments that may be moving through their area of responsibility. The command section must be able to provide teams to an area that contains sensitive items in a timely manner. Company Operations Section. The Operations Section is responsible for planning the operations, organization, and training as directed by the commander. The Operations Section also writes operational directives and plans and orders, as well as training schedules. The Operations Section prepares courses of action and recommends actions or decisions to the commander for the accomplishment of the mission. The Company Operations Section will ensure that all very important persons' protection support activity support is manned in accordance with policy. Very important persons' protection support activity support will often be requested on short notice. The Operations Section must be prepared to task EOD teams in order to support the mission. If the company cannot support the mission, the Operations Section will inform their parent unit that they are unable to support the mission as soon as possible. Planning considerations. Several considerations go into an EOD emergency response or planned operation. Proper planning will ensure that the EOD company provides the appropriate level of response for every request. Some of the considerations that must be considered are the type of incident or accident, as well as the area that the incident or accident is located. The EOD company will have contingency plans in place in the case that an incident or accident occurs. In order to ensure the company is able to respond throughout their area of responsibility, they must know the size of the response area and the capabilities of all DOD and civilian bomb disposal capabilities in the area. If EOD support is imminent, the company may need to strategically place teams throughout their area of responsibility. If the response area is large, the company will coordinate with air assets, both fixed and rotary wing, so that they are able to respond to their entire area. In the event of a large-scale incident or accident, the EOD company command section may integrate with the incident commander at the site in order to provide command and control to the EOD teams that are assisting in the response. The major incidents or accidents that may require the presence of the command section include natural disasters, terrorist incidents, mass casualty incidents, and accidents involving explosives. The EOD company will have all appropriate tools and equipment to respond to any incident or accident. This will include EOD C-burn capabilities. All tools and equipment must be in working condition and able to deploy if needed. While every EOD team has the capability to respond to all types of incidents or accidents involving explosive ordnance, there may be times when more specialized assets are needed. Army technical escort or civilian hazardous material support may be needed in the case of some C-burn incidents or accidents. This determination can be made by the EOD team leader once on scene in accordance with unit SOP. EOD teams must ensure they are responding to law enforcement acting in an official capacity. Police escort allows the EOD team to arrive at the incident site in the fastest manner possible. Once on site, the EOD team must have site security to ensure that if there is a high-order detonation, the area is clear. Medical and fire support must also be on site in the event they are needed. In order to avoid confusion, these requirements will be established by the EOD company and the local, state, federal, and tribal authorities before an incident or accident occurs. The EOD team responding must know the appropriate route to take to get to the incident site in the fastest manner possible. Due to the EOD transporting hazardous items, the EOD team leader is responsible for ensuring that all appropriate safety precautions and hazardous material transportation requirements are in accordance with 49 Code of Federal Regulations. The EOD team will coordinate with local first responders to ensure the appropriate hazardous transportation route is known by both the EOD team and the police escort. In accordance with AR-75-15 and AR-190-11, EOD teams conducting emergency response are exempt from the requirement to carry weapons. Depending on the type of incident, there may be a need for protective works to preclude collateral damage at the incident site. If in an urban area or an area that cannot withstand a high-order detonation, then the EOD team may need to request a containment vessel, bomb blanket, or sandbags. Law enforcement will be made aware of the possibility of having to supply these items upon the request for EOD support. Pre-planned law enforcement support. The EOD company may be requested to conduct pre-planned law enforcement support to drug suppression teams, hostage rescue teams, counterterrorism, and special response teams. Agencies will request EOD support through the Office of the Secretary of Defense, and the request will be sent down through the EOD company's chain of command. While these planned operations can be conducted without EOD support, if there is a possibility of WMD or military ordnance, an EOD team should be included in the mission. There will be times when a government agency may need EOD to provide only technical support. If this type of support is requested, it will be written into the request exactly what role EOD will play in the operation. EOD will also conduct planned operations on military posts and DOD installations. This support will usually include supporting military police or federal agencies for planned missions that may include explosive ordnance. Rehearsing. During the initial rehearsal stage, the EOD Command or Operations section will advise the supported agency on the best way to utilize EOD assets. Governmental agencies may not be fully aware of all of the capabilities that an Army EOD team can provide versus a civilian bomb disposal unit. The unit commander will ensure that supported agencies understand the limitations imposed on federal military forces. EOD is usually on standby during a planned operation and will be pre-staged in order to quickly respond when they are called in. If the supported agency is conducting rehearsals prior to the operation and would like EOD to participate, they must allow adequate time for EOD team to prepare. When there are time restraints and a rehearsal is not possible, the EOD team should conduct a talk-through with the supported agency versus a walk-through. This will allow the EOD team to know where they should stage and how to find out if they are needed. Execution. Execution of the operation is based on the requirements of the supported agency. EOD will advise on proper actions to be taken if an explosive ordnance, IED, homemade explosive, or WMD is located. When the EOD team is called in to mitigate the explosive ordnance, IED, homemade explosive, or WMD, they must do so in a safe and efficient manner so they do not delay the supported force. After action review. At the completion of a planned operation, an after-action review may be conducted. The after-action review will cover all aspects of the EOD support provided. The EOD team may also recommend changes that need to be made if a similar operation is conducted again. Since EOD is the supporting unit during a planned operation, then the after-action review will be conducted by the supported agency. After-action reviews are usually conducted for high-profile incidents. Response operations. EOD teams are on standby throughout the homeland to respond to local, state, federal, and tribal law enforcement 24 hours a day. All EOD requests for assistance inside the U.S. and its territories should be coordinated through local law enforcement. A primary team will be on call ready to respond in each designated response area if a call is received. The duty team may consist of 2 to 3 EOD soldiers with a team leader certified EOD soldier as the duty officer. The duty team will have a duty phone so they can be reached at any time. There will also be a secondary team on standby if there is a need for additional teams. The secondary team will be deployed at the discretion of the command section, depending on the number and types of EOD support requests received. During regular duty hours, the team will be prepared to leave the base within 30 minutes of receipt of the call. If an incident request is received during non-working hours, the team will leave the base within 60 minutes of receipt of the call. If the EOD company receives a direct request from civil authorities, they will inform their parent battalion. This allows the battalion to keep an overwatch of what type and the amount of incidents that their company's teams are responding to within their area of operations. The EOD team will also inform the base emergency operations center with a brief description of the incident report. Unit SOP will dictate further actions for the EOD team responding to incidents or accidents within the homeland. The command section will ensure the unit SOP is current with up-to-date contact information and any other information the teams may need to know when conducting homeland response. In the event that EOD support is requested for several incidents within the same geographical area, the company command or operations section will prioritize the missions. This prioritization will be determined on what is deemed to be the most serious incident, location of the incident, and impact to the community. If the operations or command section determines there are several serious incidents that require immediate response, the command or operations section may decide to deploy additional teams in accordance with unit SOP. If the EOD company continues to receive more high-priority missions, the EOD company will continue to deploy all of their assets until they have been exhausted. Additional assets may be requested by the EOD company if they are unable to respond to all high-priority incidents. Additional support may be provided by both military and civilian bomb disposal. Civil authorities may report an incident and assign it a high priority. If there is a delay in response time, the company will inform the civil authorities there will be a delay due to higher priority mission load, availability of assets, or transportation issues. Incident reporting. A DA Form 3265 Explosive Ordnance Incident Report must be completed for every incident to which EOD responds. In addition to the DA Form 3265, EOD teams will use the Explosive Ordnance Disposal Incident Management System, EODIMS, database for incident record keeping. DA Form 3265 and EODIMS records are reports that give a general description and timeline of the actions the EOD team took throughout the response. The classification of these records depends on the information they contain. The EOD group commander will determine what information must be put into the reports. The DA Form 3265 and EODIMS must be completed and sent to the parent EOD group through the EOD team's chain of command within 24 to 48 hours of completion, depending on the category of incident. If there is a need for a further narrative, then an additional page can be attached to the DA Form 3265. If any explosives or energetics are used during the response, the team must ensure quantities are annotated on the DA Form 3265 and in the EODIMS record. When developing the EOD report, it is important to use approved terminology that can be easily understood by all. The Weapons Technical Intelligence IED lexicon is intended to encompass the broad spectrum of IED employment scenarios, the variety of IED devices, and their critical components. The lexicon was developed and approved by subject matter experts from military and civilian agencies, as well as the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. For large-scale events that are considered to be unusual or serious, a storyboard may be completed in accordance with Unit SOP. A storyboard allows the team to expand on the information that was gathered throughout the incident or accident. The storyboard may also contain unclassified pictures and X-rays in order to show what the EOD team responded to within their area of operation. For more information, refer to AR-190-45. If the civil authorities determine that evidence gathered at the scene contains explosives and must be kept for evidence, a DA Form 4137, evidence/property custody document, or the equivalent civil law enforcement custody report, must be filled out and retained by the EOD team. When retaining evidence, the EOD team should consult with the servicing judge advocate or legal advisor as soon as practicable to prepare for litigation. The EOD team will take the evidence and store it in the explosives bunker with the report until civil authorities request it for use in the criminal case or request that it be destroyed. Storage for other than emergency needs must be coordinated through the installation. The agency that EOD provided support to may request a copy of the DA Form 3265 and EOD IMS report that was filled out for the response. This form may be used in court as evidence. If the agency requests the form or other information arising from the response, the company commander must consult with the servicing judge advocate or legal advisor immediately to determine whether it is releasable. EOD Team Response. The duty team will be able to respond to any request for assistance. Assistance may be requested directly from local, state, federal, or tribal authorities. Once approved by the commander, the team will respond to the request. Request for EOD assistance to respond to incidents or accidents on a DOD installation may come directly from authorities at the installation. These responses may include suspicious packages or UXO on ranges. When a team leader receives a call, they will immediately notify the duty officer. The duty officer will then notify the command section and higher headquarters with all information they have gathered in regard to the type of request. The team leader must try to gain as much information about the type of incident that they are responding to from the person calling for support. Unit SOP will dictate the type of information that must be gained before responding. The information that must be collected is point of contact information and phone number or police channel, description and location from the caller, as well as where to link up with the incident commander and if the area is secured. EOD teams responding to off-station accidents or incidents will transport necessary explosive ingredients in accordance with requirements established by the senior mission commander concerned. CAR 190-11 for more information. C4, TNT, or military dynamite are considered to be Category 2 explosives. According to DOD 5100.76, Category 2 explosives used for operational purposes may be secured in a combat vehicle, trailer, or other configuration required by operational requirements. Keeping an accurate mission timeline allows the EOD company to keep track of the time requirements it takes to handle a call. A timeline may also be important in a criminal case. Once the call is received, the mission timeline will begin. Considerations. Information gained from the request for support can be used to formulate a plan before arriving on scene. Considerations based on that information will determine what the EOD team will take when responding. Important considerations will be the type of incident as well as the location. Responding in the homeland requires that the EOD team have as little effect on the civilian populace as well as the infrastructure as possible. Because of this, the tools and equipment must be used in a way to cause as little damage as possible. If the EOD team determines that, due to the type and location of the incident, additional assets are needed, they should request those assets through the incident commander. Additional assets can aid in providing protective works or providing a larger cordon of the area. Proper communication with local, state, federal, or tribal authorities, as well as higher headquarters, should be established before leaving base. Cellular phones can be used as a primary communication source, but may not always be available depending on conditions. During incidents on post in support of installation, teams should maintain FM communications with range control and ensure all medical evacuation frequencies are loaded. EOD team responsibilities on scene. Throughout the response, the team leader is responsible for ensuring the actions of the EOD team do not endanger personnel and property, to include civilians, law enforcement, military, and the EOD team. In order to provide this protection, the team leader will ensure there is a proper cordon set around the hazardous item. If the team leader determines the cordon should be expanded, they should immediately inform the incident commander. Make sure that the incident commander understands the item could detonate at any time throughout the call. Maintaining contact with the incident commander as well as company headquarters throughout the call is essential. Before any action is taken, the team leader needs to inform the incident commander and give the incident commander time to inform their personnel. When applicable, X-rays will be taken of the explosive ordnance, IED, homemade explosive, or WMD. These X-rays will allow the team leader to be able to make the decision of what type of action to take in order to mitigate the threat. The X-ray may also show whether the item is a credible threat. If the item is determined to be an IED, the EOD team will perform actions based on unit SOP. After the IED has been rendered safe, the EOD team will search the area for additional threats. The team leader or duty officer will coordinate with the incident commander on the gathering of evidence from the device. Once the team has determined the area around the device is safe to approach, then the incident commander may send in their own personnel to gather the evidence. In the case of UXO, there may be a need for proper protective works to be set around the ordnance. The UXO may be in an unsafe condition, and disposal on site may not be possible. At this time, the team leader will discern whether to perform RSP on the UXO so they can transport it to a safe disposal area. If there are differences in opinion on what type of action should be taken on scene between the EOD team and the incident commander, refer to Unit SOP. Unit SOP dictates procedures that can take place on scene. If differences between the EOD team and the incident commander cannot be resolved, the EOD team needs to immediately report the situation to their company commander. The EOD team will then support in an advisory role. Scene turnover. At the completion of the call, inform the incident commander the threat that was reported, as well as any other threats located during the call, have been mitigated. Conduct a back brief with the incident commander in order to show exactly what the threat entailed. This will allow the incident commander's report to mirror the EOD team's report. Warning: never inform the incident commander the area is free of all explosive hazards. There may be additional hazards in the area that were not found. The team leader may also conduct an after-action review with the incident commander, which will cover what went correctly with the call and what could have been done better. This will be conducted in a professional manner, so the advice that is offered will be useful to the incident commander. If evidence collected contains explosives or explosive remnants, the incident commander may ask the EOD team to take control of the evidence for safe storage. The EOD team leader will confirm with the duty officer and company commander the evidence may be accepted into military custody and stored. The team leader must receive the proper documentation from law enforcement. A chain of custody receipt must be maintained at this time until the EOD team is directed to either turn over the evidence or destroy it. Before leaving the site, contact the duty officer or company command in accordance with Unit SOP. Very Important Persons Protection Support Activity. As directed by Section 3056 of Title 18, United States Code, Public Law 94-254, and AR 75-15, EOD personnel are provided to the USSS, the DOS, and the DOJ upon request. The procedures herein address USSS missions because they are most frequent. However, procedures are generally the same for the other organizations. The primary responsibility of the EOD personnel supporting the USSS is to detect explosive hazards and advise the USSS so the principal may be evacuated. The primary responsibility for a device If one is found, lies with the law enforcement agency with jurisdiction for the area. If the principal is visiting a military installation, military EOD will conduct the necessary procedures. Mission receipt. Very important person support mission assignments are passed to EOD companies by the EOD group or battalion. Upon receipt of the assignment, the senior EOD soldier will contact the special agent in charge of the missions for any special information or instructions. This will include the required arrival time for the team, where to meet the special agent in charge, or the technical security division representative, and what special equipment and clothing are required. Pre-mission preparation. Prior to the receipt of any very important person support mission, the EOD company commander will ensure that teams have the items required. The senior EOD soldier and team members will prepare for a mission by reviewing AR-75-15 and local policies. Mission execution. Upon arrival at the designated location, the senior EOD soldier reports to the USSS representative. The USSS should provide the tentative mission schedule, the areas to be searched, and the route and itinerary to be followed by the dignitary, including alternate routes. Information should also be provided on the location and room numbers of the security room, the package holding area, the communications room, the EOD capabilities of local authorities, and the threat summary. Before and during the dignitary's visit, the senior EOD team surveys all areas to be covered and plans for the search. Prior to the search, the senior EOD soldier coordinates with Technical Security Division or USSS agent for the use of military working dogs or uniformed division search dogs. The senior EOD soldier recommends any requirements or equipment needed to support the EOD teams. Normally, the responsible USSS agent plans the search and designates the explosives holding area and evacuation routes. This agent is a communications link for the EOD team. However, in the absence of a Technical Security Division agent or other designated representative, the senior EOD soldier may have to do those duties. The responsible agent relies on the senior EOD soldier for technical advice and recommendations about explosives. Therefore, the senior EOD soldier must carefully consider recommendations before giving them to the responsible agent. The recommendations will be used in the coordination and direction of the actual search. Before the search, the senior EOD soldier meets with the USSS agent and local law enforcement officials. At the meeting, they determine the available disposal facilities and local bomb squad capabilities and responsibilities. They also determine the evacuation routes between the visit location and disposal facilities. When established disposal facilities are not available, they select a temporary site and select routes to the disposal sites that avoid crowds and main traffic areas. They also arrange for an escort vehicle in case it is necessary to move an explosive device. Explosives holding areas must be as far away as practical from the areas the very important person is scheduled to visit. EOD personnel advise the USSS agent when the search is completed. The advance agent then determines where EOD personnel are to wait. The senior EOD soldier furnishes technical advice for identifying an explosive or incendiary device. The senior EOD soldier also notifies the agent of the findings. If necessary, this agent helps carry out the evacuation plan. When the principal arrives, EOD personnel may, at the discretion of the responsible USSS agent, be assigned to that agent during the visit to provide immediate on-the-scene technical advice. If an explosive item is found, EOD personnel may be charged with helping the responsible agent start evacuation procedures. During the actual visit, any extra EOD personnel may be put on standby status. If an explosive device, incendiary device, or any suspected item is found during a search, it must be reported immediately to the USSS. Even though speed is critical in reporting a situation of this type, care and discretion must be used in reporting such an incident. Under no circumstances should the find be reported to anyone other than a representative of the USSS. During the performance of the mission, every effort must be made to divert public attention from EOD or military working dog activities. EOD should immediately refer any inquiries about EOD support activities to the responsible USSS representative. Post-mission actions. When the mission is completed, the senior EOD soldier has an exit briefing with the agent in charge. The purpose is to discuss any problems that came up during the mission. Any unresolved problems are immediately reported to the EOD company commander. Just before the EOD team departs the site, the senior EOD soldier contacts one of the following to determine if any missions are pending: the USSS Coordinating Center, when in operation, the EOD company, or the senior EOD soldier's home unit.